Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It's 9 o'clock. It's time for a Talk Magic. Now, I'm very excited today because I'm speaking to somebody who has literally been setting the world on fire, the magic world at any rate. He has a company that is creating some of the best quality products I've ever seen. When we talk premium, this is exactly what we're talking about. A performer, a creator, an innovator, bringing new stuff out all the time, just about to go on a worldwide tour, which we're going to be talking about, and a big inspiration to the magic community. I am, of course, talking about the CEO and the founder of Grum Leathercraft, the one and only Ari Phillips. How you doing, mate? You okay?
Hey, g'day. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Mate, thanks for jumping on the channel. I really appreciate it. I know you're busy. I know you're running around doing a million things. So, and we're doing this at like 11 o'clock at night. thanks for finding the time to do it. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, and I love that we're doing the interview and you're surrounded with tools and chop cups and leather and knives and scissors and stuff. I mean, it just shows you just don't stop, do you?
No, well, this is where the magic happens, the other type of magic, the leather magic happens. So, yeah, this is my mini workshop, and it doesn't need to be much bigger than this to do what we do. So,
That's amazing. Now, obviously, I get a lot of viewers watching this channel from all over the world. People in the UK are probably going to be aware of who you are because you're a regular at various different conventions all over the UK. A lot of people consider your products to be the best of the best. However, there's people outside of the UK that maybe don't particularly know who you are now. That's going to change because obviously you are going to be doing a big tour over the coming few months, which I'm going to get to. But before we get to any of that, for those people who might not know who you are, we're going to start off by talking about your origin story. Because even in the UK, I think of you as Mr. Grum Leather. You're the guy, but there's so much more you do than just running Grum. And we're going to get to all of that, but we're going to start off with your origin story. So tell me, how did you get into magic? Where did all that come from?
Okay, so I grew up in New Zealand, and my dad was a magician, I think, or still is a magician. He was the president of the IBM New Zealand Ring for many years, I think 12 or 15 years. So we were always hosting magicians from all over the world, and, you know, I won't name drop anyone, but we had a lot of amazing celebrities come and stay, and we used to had all the New Zealand conventions. So I was very, very privileged. And obviously, I grew up, I did my, I think I started doing magic at 7 after seeing my dad do one of my birthday parties. We started doing competitions at 12. I went out and did my first children's party. I came out with $50. It was dollars there, not pounds. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I've got paid to do a gig. And basically, it was one of my competition pieces, and I just went out and did that. I just won a competition, and I went out and did that as an act for a party. And then it basically started from there. And then we did, we had a big illusion act that we did, a family illusion act I did. And then I just got the bug, and I kept doing it and performing. And then when I went traveling, I think I was 2000, I came over to the UK to travel, and 24 years later I'm still here, member of the Magic Circle, and so it's in the blood. I've been doing magic a very long time. I was the president of the Young Magicians Club. I grew up doing competitions all the time at conventions, and hence why I don't do them anymore. So I used to get too nervous, and I've done a lot, and now because my family are in New Zealand and I'm here, we used to meet halfway in the middle. So we would meet at the conventions in America, for instance. Mm-hmm. So the Magic Live or the IBM SAM conventions, where my parents would go and I'd go and we meet halfway. So we could spend some time together doing what we love. And that's what we've been doing up until until now. So
wow. So I want to delve really deeply into some of that stuff. So
yeah,
first of all, you grew up in a magical family. You're kind of like a second generation magician. Do you think that's got an advantage? Is an advantage, like, did you ever feel like, oh, I've got to do this? This is, this is how it is, or was it a disadvantage? Like, how was it growing up?
Being I was lucky. Family? I mean, I was pretty lucky actually, because I mean, I've got a brother and sister as well. So my brother's not into magic at all. We all did it as kids. So we were all in the family illusion show. My sister was in the illusion show. And she did a little bit here and there for a little bit longer, but I was the only one that really got into it and stayed into it. And I found when I went traveling, when I went around Africa, or I went around Europe, and just having magic in my pocket, I would just love it. I used to love getting the reactions of people and making people happy, making people smile. And it was the advice. If I go back to the question, I wasn't pressured into it. I wasn't forced into it. It was something that I loved. Maybe the competitions, I was sort of encouraged to do them. And I was always pushed into sort of the adult sort of competitions as well. And I was doing really well. I was lucky because I come from an entertainer family as well. My mum and dad both were in the theatre, both entrepreneurs as well. So I was very lucky in that sense that they didn't just look at the magic from doing tricks, but it was about performance and it was about engaging with the audience. It was more than just the trick itself. It was the whole package. And so that's why growing up, I was lucky because of that. But a lot of my magic actually and what I've developed and all that I've been doing since I was 16, 17, you know, my ropes and a lot of my card routines and stuff, I've been doing a very, very long time. But a lot more of what I've done has been since I've been in the UK. So the last 20 something years, I really pushed it, obviously creating my own effects and stuff like that. Even, you know, my hot rod keyring, you know, I'll bring it up because I'm also a designer. I've got a degree in product design, and I'm interior design. I've got a design agency. And I just link it all together, you know, creative design, putting it together with the magic and the passion, the performance. So part of it is, for me, is about finding a problem and finding a solution for it. And for me, one of my first tricks when I was seven, I remember I had my dad gave me a hot rod, right? I loved it. I used to love going around doing it. But when I started growing, I'm like, I love the trick, but it doesn't make any sense. It's a piece of plastic with gems on it. It doesn't make sense. It's such, and there was discrepancies with the count. So my thinking was, how can I make it work? How can I make the count work? And how can I make it into an everyday carry, an everyday object that doesn't look like a magician's prop anymore, but just looks like a key ring that you can do magic with. And it's the same effect. You know, I use it with ESP and gems still. So that's how the thinking goes. And it's sort of, my parents have sort of encouraged that as well. So, interesting.
Wow. And you talked about having a degree in design.
Yeah.
Was the goal to become a professional magician, or like, was the goal, like you say, you went to university, you got this degree? A lot of people that I speak to that are kind of like second generation magicians, they go, oh, I left school and I went straight into it and I just started performing. So did you have a plan?
Like, okay.
Was it, I'm going to go into the family business, or was it, you know what, I'm going to keep my options open?
My dad was a businessman and he's always done magic, right? And the same for me. I did a degree. I'm good at it. I've designed shopping centers all over the world and Europe, Eastern Europe. I've designed bars, restaurants, travel agencies. So I have a design agency. And I always wanted to be a designer. Actually, as a kid, I wanted to be an architect just because my name was Ari. I thought I'd call it Ari Tech. But it didn't become that. It became a Nugget. So my design agency is called Nugget Design. It's small, rare, and precious, and it adds value. So that's the thinking behind it. But I didn't think I'm going to be a magician or I'm going to be a designer. I thought I can do it all. And during university, I had three jobs. I was a bartender in the evening and I was doing magic all the time for tips. I was doing gigs. So the gigs were paying for my university fees or me traveling or, you know, my expenses. And I was studying as well. So, and I've always done that. I've always done magic. And even when the tough times were happening, I always relied on magic. I had a two residencies for 4.5 years every week, and I rotate magicians, so they didn't just always have me. And I was making sometimes more money as a magician than with a design agency, because I'm paying everybody else and the staff their salaries, and I'm out in the weekend just having fun getting magic, and I didn't care. I'm performing magic every weekend, pretty much. Every week I've got a gig during the week. I had a week gig during the week this week and the weekends. Every night I'm sitting there stitching, making orders for people. And then during the week I'm a designer. So I don't think that you're not a professional magician because you don't do it full time. Because I'm earning more doing magic than a lot of the professional magicians probably. You know, I'm out there doing professional quality gigs. I've been doing it for over 30 years. God, even longer. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So I started 7, but I don't choose one or the other, but for me, it was always good to have a buffer because I know I can go out and save my skin, you know, with the magic. Yeah. And I have been through tough times, and it is the magic, and it's actually Grum that actually got me out of it. So.
Wow. Well, when do you said that you moved over to the UK about 20 odd years ago?
Yeah.
A couple of questions on that. One, was that a difficult decision to like stay when you've got the family business at home? You've got you've got your parents and the illusion show and everything, to kind of leave all of that and basically relocate to another country. And also, I'm guessing that the design agency that you're talking about, Nugget Design, that was set up in the UK.
So
I suppose the first question is, was it difficult to come over to the UK? And the second question is, when you got here, did you have a game plan? Was it like, right, okay, I've got this background in design, I'm going to set up a design company? Or was it right, okay, I've got all this experience doing magic, I'm going to go out and perform magic and make money that way? Like, what came first?
Okay, so good question. So it's a funny one, because I came over only for a year. Over in New Zealand, we call it an OE. It's an overseas experience. And I came just for the year to travel, to go to Europe, to do Africa, to do Europe, Eastern Europe. I want to do it all. And then we got a job. I got a job in a bar. It was the Swan in Westmoreland, where Etienne was the resident magician. And I was the magician, and he was like, come along. So I used to come along as his guest to the magic circle. It was even before that. Ali Bongo introduced me to the magic circle. I met Ali Bongo in a magic convention in America. I can't remember if it was IBM, SEM, or Magic Live. I think it was one of those. And he told me to come along. And then I came along. And then I saw Etienne. Oh, my God, I see you at the Swan where I work. You're the resident magician. And I came along as his guest and all that. I was working as a bartender just to travel. You know, I was a flair bartender. I worked for Planet Hollywood for some time. As a student, and I won the absolute vodka bartender of the year, but the absolute bartender competition I won. It's flair, you know, flowing bottles and stuff, because I put magic in with it and stuff like that to make it fun. I was just really doing that and doing magic and having fun. But because I'd done my degree, the aim was my parents, I'd come back and get a job. And I was like, well, I'm going to see what I can do here. My story's crazy, but yeah, basically I was working in a bar, and some guy who was in the bar behind me basically said, oh, you're a we were chatting, and I told him that I was I'd done design or whatever it is, and he goes, oh, I have a design agency, do you want a furniture design office design company, love you to come in and have a chat. So I went in and had a chat with him, and then I worked for him for a month while I was at the bar just to help him out with a few things. And he says, oh, I see in your CV that you were distinctions in art and fine art. I'd love you to do some paintings for me. So he got me a studio, gave me a salary, got me a car, basically said, paint what you want. You're here, you just have a studio, paint, because I was basically employed to paint paintings for him in his for his interiors, office interiors. And like, I was getting paid a salary, I didn't care. I was a bit down because I'm like, all the other artists were like struggling, and here I am getting a salary and a credit card, and I could do what I want and paint what I want. And then I was just doing magic on the side. So then obviously he had to make his team redundant, and he's like, Ari, you're kind of like my little passion, you know, like I love art and I love what you do, but you know, it's not fair to keep you on when I have to make these guys redundant. So I went back to the bar, And the guys in the bar, and this is actually true how it happened, the guys in the bar were buying a new restaurant. It was Control Tower, an old Control Tower. And they had these design agencies coming in for interviews. And basically they got these guys in and they said to the, they had this design agency and they asked me, oh, Ari, as you're a designer and you're the head barman, do you want to sit in and just, you know, sit in the meeting? So I sat in the meeting. At the end of the meeting, one of the directors came up to me and said, oh, I love the way you were in the meeting. You know, I'd love you to come and meet my director tomorrow. And I said, well, tomorrow, I've got a day off. I went into the meeting in London. I sat down for 12 minutes. He gave me a crash course on CAD, AutoCAD, and Vectorworks. Basically said, oh, you got a job. You're going to be an interior designer. I went, what? He goes, no, don't worry. We'll talk to them. You can just work there on the weekends. You know, you're working for us now. So I started working for them doing nightclubs and bars. Then I got headhunted to a company doing, banks. And then I got headhunted to another company doing international shopping centers. In 2000, and all that time, I was always doing magic on the side, like magic gigs in the weekends and the evenings. And then in 2012, I got made redundant. And this is the question to why Nugget started. And I'm like, I've got all these contacts. I'm doing shopping centers. I was just done the Russian railways. I did wayfinding and navigation as well, and I just finished doing a 2-year project on the Russian railways where we redesigned the whole railway navigation system. And I got made redundant. I got some opportunities to design a new shopping center in Bulgaria, and I said I'm going to take it. And I set up Nugget Design. That was 2012, and I started doing shopping centers all over Europe, Eastern Europe, Budapest, Poland, Russia. And obviously then it was just getting tougher and tougher because of all the competition. I'm a smaller company. And we got hit with lockdown and I didn't get my staff back. I decided I'm doing so much magic at the moment. I'm doing so, and then the Grum, and you're going to ask me about Grum and how that evolved, but that's really how it all happened. I was doing design. I was doing magic always. And during that period, I was working in bars and restaurants as magicians as well. So it was kind of a bit of everything. I never chose one or the other. But yeah, I'm digging my own grave because I've got like 3 massive jobs here, and like each of them are full-time jobs. Like my magic, I'm literally doing gigs in the weekends. And then the leather craft, I'm literally insane doing so many orders every week and the weekends when I'm not gigging. And then during the week I'm designing, and like we're doing a medical center at the moment. I've just done a bar and restaurant, so I'm like, it's just insane. So,
and you said that you didn't bring your staff back. Have you? But is Nugget Design? Do you have staff now?
It's just me. It's me. And if I use a freelancers, I will use freelancers as and when. But pretty much, I do branding, interiors, signage, the whole project. So it's, I put a lot of pressure on myself. So, but it all links because that's. It's the same. Like I learned CAD, and that's how I create my patterns. When I design a product, I, as a designer, like I'm creating any of my leather products, you have to create a pattern. So I'll literally design the pattern in CAD and then create the cutouts, how it's made, how it's developed, and then I cut it out, punch it out, punch every single hole, and then make it and mock it up. So, and then I do the marketing for it, and then I do the packaging. It's been insane. So
wow,
yeah,
it's mad
story, isn't it?
I mean, that's crazy. You're so busy, but so you're working on design full-time, you're performing full-time. What made you decide to set up Grum, which is effectively a third business, so to speak? Okay. But how did that all come to be? You're over in the UK. You've settled in the UK. Your magic's going great. Your design's going great. What makes you go, you know what? I'm going to be a magic dealer, which is the most insane thing anyone could ever. Like, somebody asked me a question on my channel the other day, and I said, I would never be a magic dealer in a million years. Not in a million years.
It's funny because that wasn't the plan at all. Okay, so this has actually happened very organically, and that's why I'm so proud of it, because it's happened from demand, from people loving what I do, and it gave me the confidence to realize that what I'm doing, people are willing to pay the money for what I do because they like a premium quality product. So it wasn't designed to set up. So 2020, I was working on, I had two residencies. They both stopped, you know, doing magic. I couldn't do them because my gigs were stopped from 2020. I was working on a travel agency. And like, this is the craziest thing. I was working on a travel agency and a bar. both those got shut down because one of the travel agencies just stopped because of obviously what happened with COVID, and the bar just decided to stop. So wasn't getting paid for that. And then we got hit obviously with COVID, and then I had the worst divorce situation you could ever imagine. Right. And it was horrendous. It cost me a fortune. And I found myself on my own in a flat with nothing. I had nothing. And I was in a room and all I had was paper cups, plate, knife. And I was pretty in a dark place. And I remember one night, stayed up all night. I had some legend cups and balls, and, you know, they weren't weird because I didn't have them with me. I didn't even have a computer or anything. I was just sitting in this room. I'm like, what am I going to do? Can't get my stuff. I remember taking the cups and thinking, what can I do with them? So I rolled up the spoon and made a wand. I got toilet paper, made some balls, and I taught myself my version of the cups and balls, the three cups and balls. And then I thought, you know what? I was playing with the cups and balls and having fun, but it never made sense to me. And I never understood it. And a lot of time I've seen so many performers doing it so badly, it put me off. As a kid, I remember being so bored of certain tricks, like it was the linking rings and the cups and balls and this and that, because you see people do it badly and then you think, well, if I can see it, everybody can see it. So it's not magic, right? And the other thing I always used to think was, it's a metal cup and a crochet ball. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. And that's always been in my head. And when I was playing with these, I'd sort of put it aside and I started getting back into some work. But between all the legal crap and everything that was going on, I was down. My dad said, why don't you get yourself like a kit set model? Because he used to love kit set models, boats and cars. And so just do that. Take your mind off stuff. And in my head, I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but for me, it's a waste of time. You know, I'm not. I used to tell my daughter, I used to say, if you spend more time playing the piano or teaching yourself something than you're on your phone, you'll develop a skill. And if you do that every day, you'll get better and better. So I said, well, instead of me wasting time making a model, which might be fun, but I'm not gaining it, why don't I make myself something? And I'm going to do it out of leather. And the leather came because my granddad when I was a kid, he had a top leather handbag company, right? And he lived in Wellington. We were in Auckland. So he lived 8 hours away. We didn't go to see him all the time. But as a kid, we used to go visit. And we used to run and rummage in the old bins and pick out all the scraps and cut bits out. And just the smell of the glue and all that. We never used any of the tools in the machine. I just remember him having it. And my sister could never call him grandpa. She never could say grandpa. She used to call him Grum Grum. So I named Grum after my grandpa, Grum, right? It's interesting. So I said, I'm going to make a chop cup because that's what I've been playing with. That was what's on my mind, but it's not going to be a chop cup. It's going to be a dice cup because the layperson played backgammon, snakes and ladders. They know what a dice cup is. So if I can create a dice cup, it makes sense. And I will start doing this routine. And I'm going to do it and I'm going to make it. And this time next year, I will be in Blackpool and I'm going to sell it. And that was my challenge. Can you hear me, by the way? I've got no sound.
No, I can hear you fine. I'm just listening to. Yeah. I'm finding this whole thing fascinating. I'm just letting you talk because this is fascinating.
Yeah. So I said this time next year, I'm going to be at Blackpool. And that was my challenge. And I went through so many prototypes and so many samples, and I made I've still got samples like tape and cardboard and cheap leather. And it came down to even understanding the thickness of the leather, the weight of the magnet, until I got it perfect. And when I mean perfect, I wanted my dice cup not just to be a dice cup. I wanted the balance to be so perfect that when you put it in your hand, you don't have to do this with a cup anymore. You can just pick it up, drop it down, pick it up. And that's what I did. And in the meantime, I had already had all these other ideas that I was creating, like the hot rod idea that I wanted to do, which I put into a keyring. So the first convention, I think I did the chop cup, one for the diary and the keyrings, you know, and I had obviously packet trick holders and card holders and stuff like that I was working on. And I literally people started buying them and then wanting special orders. And then people keep asking me, can you do this? Can you do that? And at Blackpool, they were asking me stuff. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I got more and more orders. And everything that I was earning from it, because I could, because I was doing magic and I was doing the design, I was just keep reinvesting. So I was buying more tools and I was learning more stuff, and I was all completely self-taught, you know. And then, made friends along the way, obviously, you know, Liam and stuff like that. So we met up during lockdown, probably shouldn't have, but we did. I had dinners together and stuff, and he was really keen on it as well and very, very good at it. We started evolving, and he got more into doing the magic sort of emceeing, hosting, and I just didn't stop because my cup was what got – I'm selling them all over the world. You know, I sell them to – I've sold to Japan. America is our biggest audience. We've sold to Australia, South Africa, China. It's crazy how I'm sending them out all over the place, but I've got over 100 products on my website now, and it's insane. And that's why it wasn't meant to be. That wasn't my aim to be a dealer. It was just because I did it because it was to take my mind off stuff. And the link between the design and the magic and the creation, I've started creating stuff, and I've got, as I say, we're going to Vegas soon, and we're doing a lecture tour, and I'm taking a lot of, I've got several new releases that are going to be coming out. One of them you've probably seen, the signed card to Kieran, which I did with Sean Jackson. And I've got a few other, three other routines that I'll be completely bringing out. One that I've been doing since I was 17 and I've decided to release it. There's just so many things that I've just been playing with. And as I say, this is crazy us going to America as well, going to do it, because there's so much products and get out there in the first place. But just for the experience, we said, why not? So there's that kind of, that's sort of where Grum started. Like, it wasn't meant to be a dealer. I wasn't meant to, but now I've got people in France ringing me up who, you know, they're wanting to enter competitions and they want this and they want that. And I've got people and like everywhere asking me, and sometimes I have to say, I'll do it, but I can't do it now because I'm preparing. But everyone wants to wait. They're happy because they know that I care about the products and the quality, and I will keep working on it until it's right.
That's great. So I have questions on this.
Yes.
So the first question is, you say you've got over 100 items on your website, and you know that myself and Ryland have got a lot of your stuff. Most shows, if Ryland's not doing the cups and balls, he's doing Chop Cup, and if he is, he's using your candy cup.
He loves it. That's great.
He loves it. Absolutely loves it. And there's a bunch of other stuff that we've got of yours as well. But most producers will at some point or another start putting stuff in Murphy's. Is there a reason, as a magic producer, you've not gone down that route?
Okay, so how do I answer this? I'm trying to be very careful. We do have a relationship. Ever since I've been at Blackpool, Murphy's have been in touch with me constantly. Michelle and Kathy, it was at first, and now Kathy and Paul Romley suggested it as well. And everyone's been saying, you know, you've got to get involved. And I've been very selective about what it is. This is part of the reason why some of my products haven't been released. Okay. Because we were in negotiations, and some of the products I've chosen, like my cups, will never be made by anybody else. I literally have got, again, every week I'm getting emails from companies all over the world asking me, can they make my cups for me? There's no way, because it will never be good enough. I've been to four or five manufacturers abroad to try and get stuff, and I've never been happy until recently. It's taken me a very long time to find someone, because I've got orders coming out of my ears that I can't deliver. Things like the cups and specific things that are bespoke will always be handcrafted by me. I am getting certain things made, but they're still being handcrafted. That was part of the deal. But certain things I've got so many interest in, like, for instance, the sign card to Kieran that's coming out at Magic Live. I've got Babu, which I won't tell you about, but there's a new release, which is very exciting. That's coming out too. I have orders, and I've got a lot of orders, and they're all coming, but we're not releasing them, because I specifically said that I want to release it in Vegas. Part of me, I want to be out there at Magic Live doing the new release, And then they will get them, and then they will be sending them out, which is fine. But as I say, there's certain things that just I will keep to myself, even though they still, everyone keeps chasing me. They want them, right? They, people love the cups, so, and other items. But yeah, so yeah, it's Grum. I mean, it's always been Grum. I'm very particular about what it is I make and what it is we're going to release. But some of them as well, because I am a magician as well, I've got some great concepts that might not even be leathercraft that we're releasing. And because, because I've got orders for them already. So is it Ari Phillips or is it Grum? I don't know. At the moment, I'm just taking every step as it comes, you know, and I'm taking every opportunity. So, yeah. So
that's awesome. That's fantastic. Wow. Yeah. So here's another question for you.
Yeah.
You've talked about your design agency. You've talked about you performing close-up magic. Yeah. And you've alluded to the fact that you're going on a tour very, very soon that starts with Magic Live, and you're going to be going to a lot of conventions over the whole.
Oh, can I say something before you interrupt? Yeah. You mentioned, you said design, you said magic. Yeah. What other thing that probably people don't even know is that I was also, not only did I use design and magic, but I've also designed magic shops. I designed, for instance, a lot of the stuff for Marvin's Magic. So when he had his new toy shop that he did in FAO Schwartz in America, I designed that interior for him. When he did the new one in the toy shop in London, the toy shop, it wasn't around for too long, I think, for some funny reason, but designed all that, the interiors for that shop, designed stuff for Hamleys for him. So that also was creating a link with the design and the magic, and just a nice to work with other magicians and another entrepreneur like Marvin, and, you know, who's now our amazing president, you know, to actually link all that together. People don't know that about me. I'm kind of secretive, but, you know, it's not that I'm secretive. It's just that, you know, it doesn't come up. So I don't go around boasting about it. You know me as a designer, you know me as a magician, you know me, you know, whatever.
Wow. So, I mean, you're blowing my mind with how much you do. So,
like you.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm an idiot. But look, here's the thing. How, like, okay, so you're going on this tour around America, and it's going to be about 2 months.
Yeah, six. It was going to be 8 weeks, but it might be about 6 weeks now.
6 weeks, but that's still, 6 weeks is a long time. It's a month and a half.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to your magic business and your design business while you're over there?
Okay, so I've just finished a massive office, medical office, and I'm doing an aesthetics clinic. And I timed that, that I will be finished that project before we leave. And I haven't taken on any other jobs. So I'm doing a big residential property as well. Basically I told them that from the state I'm not available, and they understand that. Okay. And then from the magic, it doesn't affect my magic business because I just haven't taken the gigs during that period. I can still take bookings when I'm away for when I'm back. Obviously I'm going with Mona, so we're both going together, and it's going to be a bit of a challenge. Because obviously we're both not earning when we're away, and we're both spending. But the thing is, we will be earning because we're doing lectures. I've got a lecture tour. So basically, what happened is I got asked, you know, and I got a spot in Magic Live, which is amazing. And I think it's because he basically stand out and said he saw my stuff and he saw my pitch, and he said, if I walked past your stand, I would stop. And it's different from anybody else, and I'd love you to be there. And I was chuffed because I didn't think we'd have a chance. So it's the first time going. I've been to Vegas many times, and I've been to Magic Live many times, but not as a dealer. So excited. So the idea was we were going to do that, and then it was suggested to us that afterwards, that why don't you do while you're there a tour, like a lecture tour afterwards. Edmund suggested that someone we met at the session, where we did really well there as well. And he said, why don't I introduce you to Scott Wells? He organizes all the tours in America, Southern tours. So he recommended me, and then Scott Wells said, "Oh, I'm coming to Blackpool, you know, why don't we all meet up?" And we met up there, and we met Dale Sanders, we met all these fantastic people, Mark, and they were like, "Well, you know, I want you to come to our convention. I want to come to Alice's convention too." So it became, the idea was after Magic Live, I decided, right, we're going to go to Magic Live, and then we're going to do, straight from there, we're going to get a road trip. We're going to go to LA, and we're going to go from LA all the way to Miami, right? And we're going to drive and do all lectures on the way. But then it turned out, actually, it's better to do conventions because you can do your lectures, which is great. But we've been asked to go to Dale Sanders and Mark's Magic Texas, right in the middle of the tour, which is amazing. And then when we were at Tricks and the Sticks recently, I think I told you I was going there. I went there and met Dan Harlan, and he saw my stuff. He loved my key ring and wow key ring and, you know, my products. He thought they were brilliant. And he asked if I'd like to come to his convention in Raleigh in South Carolina. The thing is, it's a day after Magic Life. Well, 2 days. So basically we accepted. So now the tour was meant to be driving from Las Vegas to Miami, but now what's happening is we're doing Las Vegas, and then the day after Magic Live we're flying to Raleigh, right? We're going to do the next morning we're going to get up and do his convention, the Magic Con, and then we're going to drive all the way around, go to Texas. On the way we've got six or eight confirmed at the moment lectures, a couple we're waiting to hear, and then we're driving back, and I hope to end up at Magic on the Beach. So 3 or 4 massive conventions in America and 6 to 8 lectures is great. So, you know, it's going to be a working holiday because we're going to, like, can't go there and not go to Universal Studios and Disneyland as well. So
wow.
That's a bit amazing. Insane. I'm a bit crazy, aren't I? So
you really are.
But I like to take an opportunity, and I thought, you know what? Why not? So
what's the most important thing for you? Let's say, hypothetical here, you, in the same day, you get a phone call asking you to go and perform at a gig you've always wanted to do, and it'll be like 2 or 3 weeks away, and it's like your dream performing gig.
Yeah.
At the same time, you get a design job come in that needs completing in 3 weeks, and it's like your dream design job. And at the same time, you have an opportunity to come up for Grum, like you get to lecture and exhibit at like somewhere you've always wanted to take Grum to that will open up a new kind of demographic for your geographical area that you've not really tapped into. All three of those come up at the same time and you have to pick one. What would you do?
It's a really impossible thing to answer. And I tell you what, it's really weird because my dad always asks, you know, you've got to keep your nugget on because, you know, here I am and, you know, having a big agency. Well, not big, it's a small agency, but we do big projects and we earn a lot of money doing it. And I've done it all over the world. But then, you know, the next minute you're doing magic, which you can earn more per hour than anyone I know, you know, like by doing a gig in an hour, but we've got years and years of experience. And then you've got Grum, and even though people think my products are expensive, they take me a hell of a lot of time. So if you divide the amount of time I'm doing, I actually earn from Grum, right? It's not comparable to going out and doing a gig for 2 hours, but I love it, and I'm building such a reputation for it. It's such an amazing feeling, you know. And I am, as I say, I am growing that. But I know myself, and I know my answer to what you're going to say, and my answer would be do it all. Because I can, I would, and this has happened. Like, I'm not, you know, I remember only a few weeks ago, I was doing the Jadawala show at the Magic Circle, and I had a presentation to give, and I had that, and I had orders to go out, and then I had to go to Magic Circle. I was performing with all the boys on the Magic Circle with, you know, the team. And I'm like, wow, how am I going to do this? I was freaking out beforehand, but I kept saying, I can do it. If you wish it, you will it, you will make it happen. And if I had a big, which is actually kind of happening right now, my opportunity now is going to America, right? So I've got that amazing opportunity. I'm doing an amazing clinic project at the moment. And I'm doing gigs, literally. Like this weekend, I took this weekend off because we were meant to be at West End Live because I love it. I always have that as my break throughout the year. But literally every weekend I'm either doing a children's party or I'm doing a corporate gig in the week, or I've got and because I'm my own boss, I can do it. I can juggle. But if this situation did happen, I would take on the job and then work out how to do it afterwards, which means I take on the job, I get some freelancers to do it while I'm away. Even now, if a project happened, I would probably be going to America. If a big one came up, I would turn it down. I'd take it on and I'd have a freelancer to oversee it. They'd be sending me stuff. I'd be doing my lecture. I'd come home, I'd look at my emails, go, oh my God, how am I going to deal with this? The only thing I'm not sure about yet is dispatching all my orders, because when we're in Vegas for 6 weeks, we're going to be getting orders online. I'm going to have to tell everybody, hey guys, thanks so much. If you make an order, please bear with me. You know, I handcraft these and we've only got so much time. Some of the items we will be dispatching, but we won't be able to do it till we get back. That, because I'm a small agency, it's just me, you know, and Mona's helping, but that's all. But if it grows, you know, things will change, you know, we can get them dispatched elsewhere. But I think people are understanding because it's a quality product and, you know, and because, yeah, it's come from the heart, I think.
Wow. That's amazing. So as we're in your workshop, and if anyone's watching this that's going to be going to Magic Live, for example, because it's coming up very, very soon.
Yeah.
Can you walk us through a couple of the items that you've got over there and sort of what people should check out when they come over to your booth, regardless of where it is?
Okay. So not everything's packaged because I've just got stuff all over the place, but I've got obviously all my tools and everything here. But well, you mentioned the candy cup. So this is the candy cup. So it's a chop cup, but the idea is it's a chop cup with candies instead of a ball. And it makes sense. I always tell a story about my granddad and my as a kid, we went to my grandparents for a movie night. We'd either get popcorn or a cup of candy, you know, and that now makes sense. Right. Again. And the beautiful thing is it comes with a lemon and a lime. So you at the end, you ask them, what was the color of the candy in your hand? And they say green. What was the flavor? And they go, apple or lime, and you go, yeah, lime, and then they pull out the lime, and then you go, no, it's actually lemon and lime, and it's such a killer, and it's so much fun to do. So that's the candy cup. Shall I show you my? I presume everyone knows about my cups, but I can show the dice cups if you'd like to see. So I've got we've got dice cups, we've got all different kinds of cups, and we can have them laser engraved as well or embossed. This is just a standard black one, but. The beauty of these is, let me show you. So the beauty of these is the balance, and same with all mine. If I take the dice away, you can see there's nothing here. You can just place it in your hand. Nothing happens. If you click, it comes back just like so. So the balance is, if your hands are open like that, if they're just relaxed, I don't know if you can see from this angle, but if you just place it in your hand, nothing happens. But if you have your hand flat, something happens. So it's the perfect balance. Nothing, something. So it's the easiest routine to do. And the beautiful thing is it's so small, you can do it in someone's hand, right? Not only can you do it in someone's hand, but you keep it in your pocket. So it's perfect for a strolling magician because it takes up no pocket space. I mean, also we do holsters to put it on your belt. So you don't have to put it in your pocket either. But, you know, so that's the dice cup. And you've got some beautiful final loads as well. I've got obviously beautiful card holders that sit, real suede lining and stuff like that, so you can have that on your belt. It sits on your belt.
Oh,
and
that's great.
So again, it's all about pocket space. A winner at the moment is the double cross holder. This is designed, I spent a lot of time thinking about designing this, is that everybody has a problem with double cross, because what do? How do you get it, stop it from damaging your clothes or losing the gimmick, whatever it is? So I designed this in a way that protects your clothes like that, but then when you put it in the other way around, it's in the get ready position. The other thing is it doesn't take up any pocket space at all because it's magnetic, so that sits in your jacket, in your inside jacket pocket, or on your if you don't wear a jacket, you can wear it on your waistcoat or on your belt. So now when you take it, I'm already in the get ready. See, as I pick up the pen, I'm in the get ready. I go, put it back, and I'm away. So that, obviously, I would wear it in a jacket. It also acts as a holdout. So if you have inside your jacket pocket the four aces or whatever it is, you can bring in the cards like that. If it sits on your belt, okay, that will be sitting on your belt. You can have the four aces or whatever it wants that just sits over like so, and you can cop them from underneath as well. So I try and think of all details, not just, you know, I'm trying to find problems for solutions. So that is the DC double cross pen holder. And that got a rave review as well from Chris Smith, who produces them out in Las Vegas. We do part of the issue as well, which I developed, is the biggest problem with the double cross is people do that. I can't stand it. You know, licking your finger. But if you've got a glass, right, you can use condensation of the glass to clear it. But now I've developed this. So that just sits on your belt, okay? And it's got a tip in it, right? Just a thumb tip. That sits inside. But it's got a bit of sponge in it, okay? So that way you dip your finger in. As you're looking for your pen, right, that's on your belt. As you're looking for your pen, you dip your finger in. It's got moisture on it. So then you write it. It's gone and it's clean. And so that's got actually several purposes, but we won't go into those right now, but there's lots of things you can do with that. I've got everyone loves Extreme Burn, you know, but this is just a lovely, beautiful magnetic money clip that you keeps all the notes together. It always looks great. So when you perform it, you can perform it, you can open it. And when you're performing it, you can just put that on your jacket, your shirt, do the trick, come back. Take it, and it pops it back onto your money altogether. Just looks classy, doesn't it? Rather. Obviously, packet trick wallets. So you can see here, beautiful packet trick wallets, all different with suede lining. I've got 2, 3, and 4 size packet tricks. This is another one which is beautiful. It's for out to lunch, or out to dinner. I call it out to dinner because I've designed it in a way that's a pad for when you're at a restaurant and they take your menu. So this is done. It's got a pen holder. It actually holds. This is a brand new one. It's just being released for Magic Live. It's actually got a Velcro attachment there. So you can put a special band, which it comes with, so you can change it. You can keep changing. So you can have 3 or 4 different effects, one for children's and one for adults and one for, you know, one event. So that keeps it all together. So that is the out for dinner. We've got Equivoki. Equivoki Pro and Equivoki Pouch and Equivoki Keyring. These are amazing keyring routines. This is the first one I did. It's basically a free will type thing based on Equivoki, actually more. You've got a selection of instructions you give the spectator with a coin, your keyring, and a business card. And they end up with your business card in their pocket. And then when they open the prediction, it's written inside. It's obviously, I will have the keys, you will have the coin, and the card is in the pocket. So the beautiful thing is that you've now put your business card in the spectator's pocket, and that's an everyday carry. But I wanted to take it a step further. So that was the first release. Then we did the pouch. So the Equivoki pouch comes, and everything, I try and reduce the amount of packaging I do as well. I design all the packaging myself as well. But the Equivoki pouch is exactly the same, except you've got somewhere to keep the coin. So the coin comes in there, you take the coin, now you've got a business card, you know, you've got your key ring with your keys on it, the business card and the coin. And when you want to reveal, they open it like so with the prediction inside. So that's the Equivoki pouch. And then then it went a step further. Am I going too much, or can I still show you more?
Yes, yeah. Please do. I'm finding this fascinating.
Then we did Equivoki Pro. I'm having to open this. And they all come with instructions and what have you. So Equivoki Pro is the minimalist key ring, basically, but it comes with a choice of a coin or a poker chip. Now, you've seen my poker chips with this optical illusion where you make a coin appear. So it comes with that. You basically do, you can do a witch hand routine with that. Then you've got the Equivoki Pro illusion, and you can also make a coin appear with that. So there's 3 effects you can do, and then you do the Equivoki ring special, and they're holding this in their hand the whole time, and when they open it to read, it says, I will have the key ring, you will have the coin, and the card is in the pocket. So again, another detail, but it's an everyday carry that you can have everything on you at all times. So that is Equivoki Pro. So these are all going to be out there. We've got the one for the diary, which is huge. I've been selling that ever since. And that I've got an international, I don't know where I put it. I have it here, but I don't know where it's gone. But One for the diary is my version of a diary trick, but there's no forcing, there's no nothing to memorize, no memory deck. It's easy to do, it's self-working. And the
I've got your diary effect, it's brilliant.
Yeah, and there's only, and it's the same size as a pack of cards, so it takes up no space. But I've got a new version for America, and we're doing an international version, four languages. And instead of writing the name, they're going to be the card pips, two of hearts, two of spades, you know, the two. But then it's in the months are in English, Spanish, German, and French. So because in Blackpool, we had people who loved it, but then they wanted to do it themselves. But also, you know, part of this will be a bit part of the lecture that I do and telling people how to create this themselves to make it rather than a special day. Because I've been doing this for years as a birthday card for the birthday people as well. So, you know, rather than saying we talk about a birthday card and it's their birthday card, so you can customize it to your own. This is also a winner. I can't really promote this on social media because I don't want to give the magic away. But basically, it's my answer to bottle through table. It's just a gimmick.
Oh,
I haven't even got a belt on. How lazy. But basically, let's just place that on my... it's hard to do it on the clothes. But basically, you're here under the jacket. All you need to do is you put your finger in here. It's out. Can you see? Perform it. And it's very easy to place it back inside.
That's great.
So that has been a big issue for me and a lot of people. So it's so simple, but it's effective. So that is for the bottle through table performers. Perlman does an amazing trick called 20th Century Phantom.
Yeah.
We never liked the handling of it and created a holster for it to give you a reason behind getting your hand. If you end up dirty, how do you end up dirty? How do you get rid of the mess? You know, how do you clean up? The reason is that you have this in your pocket, you're cutting. Then you go back to get the case to put the scissors away. So that way you've got reason to go away. So I got those. If you perform it a lot, there's index wallets. So I've got a 10 and a 20 index wallet that you can actually pull out and basically have all, they're spares. Sorry. You can pull out and have all the cards. I don't know if you can see. So,
yeah, I can.
So you just list them and then you've got all the characters. So you can go to every different table and have a different result at each table. So that's an index for that. People who do the WoW wallet. Again, I'm trying to find solutions to problems. I never understood the WoW wallet, right? Because it was just a piece of plastic. But now I've created this device that looks like it just come out of your wallet, right? So it's a little holder
that's
for it.
Amazing.
But because there's a little Grum logo on the back, you know which way to hold it. Because sometimes you can't see the little dot. So now you can just, and it's gone, you know? Now just, so I create these. There's so many things on my table, but obviously a big release is have you seen this one yet?
I have. You showed it me. This is amazing.
So this is a signed card. Obviously, you've got a card that someone's been holding on to that the whole time. And then you come and you can take the card away. I'll put it away. And then it's their signed card. So that is the signed card to keyring. It's been a huge. I've been getting like rave review. Loads of people are chasing me for it. But I'm really holding out for this one. So that will be released at Magic Live officially. Coin unique, there's a fun thing. So people, you know, you never know how to you know, you don't want to bang it always. So I created this lovely little device where you can see that you won't lose the coin because you know, but there's a little magnetic clap on the back. When you open it, the coins come out, and because it's magnetic, you can just place it on the back of the case and it separates. So you've got a key ring to carry a coin unique for doing any trick you want. I've got so many things. This is a winner. Like I love grandma's necklace, you know, but how do you carry three balls and two laces on you when you're doing a gig and you've got cards, you've got Omnidick, you've got Sharpies, you've got Sponge, but I don't know what you perform, but So this is just a holster, right? It sits on the back behind you. I performed this at a corporate gig the other day what's the name of the company? You know, the big financial, St. James Place, right? Yes. Did a massive corporate gig. And I did a whole effect on money and keeping your money safe. And, you know, the whole routine was about it. And I used this, and it's such a winner, because how would I carry it around? I literally took it off my back, and then I could take this out, and then I could just tip the balls out into their hand, right? Like so, when they come. So, and then I gave them one at a time, and then we threaded the bands. But again, I'm trying to find a solution to a problem.
Grandmother's necklace is one of my favorite tricks. I think TCC knocked it out the park with that.
They did.
I've always had that same issue. So the fact that you've come up with a solution to that, and I wasn't even aware that you had that.
So this is a winner, actually, in saying that you mentioned TCC. They're great. They've even contacted me because they want to collaborate with this because they love it so much. So that's something that's spinning around in my head at the moment. What do you do? You know, but Simon Lipkin's new effect. Have you seen that one? Tricolor?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a great trick.
It's a brilliant trick. So I got a new case based on Double Cross for that. Right. So it's the same idea. You don't want to take up space in your pocket because you might have your Joel wallet or my wallet, whatever it is in your front pocket. So that just clips in there, keeps the pin together. But the beautiful thing about it, I'll show you, is I love the best thing for me is the colored caps in each pocket. I love the fact you can, but how do you carry it? You don't want to carry them around like that. So this is the way I do it. I've designed this in a way that you can keep all the caps in the case together. So it all goes in together, right? When you want to perform it, all you do is you take these off. 1, 2, 3. They go back into the case, right? 1, 2, 3, right? You put that on the table. You get them to take the pens. You perform the trick. You take these out of your pocket because you don't lose the lids. And then when they finish, they open that up. And the prediction, I don't know if you can see it because the light is poor in here. They got the prediction engraved on the back that says the red pen will be in the left pocket, the blue pen will be in the right pocket, and the green pen will be in the back pocket. But because I handcraft them, you can have any prediction you want, so you can switch it up, you know. So, and we've actually got another version where the little there's a pocket, so you can put a prediction, handwritten prediction, so it's not actually on there as well, or you've got a third out.
Have you shown that to Simon?
I have shown it to Simon, so, and he loved it. He thought it was great, but I think he's doing it. Obviously, I haven't really discussed it in much length, but it's
also a genius idea.
Also, we put the, if you see here, I got the Sharpie logo on it. Don't know if you can see that.
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
But that was to make it more authentic. So it actually looks like it's just come from, it's just a Sharpie holder. So people, it doesn't bring any heat on it. So people are loving that. I've got even just simple little card holsters. I don't know, it can be embossed and engraved.
Well, you put together a lovely card holster for Evoke.
Oh, yes, I did. And I don't have that here, stupidly. I probably do have one somewhere. But yeah, I had it here and I was just playing with it in the other room. And then, I could go and get it, actually. But yeah, it's a shame because that literally flew off the shelves. People loved it. Everyone raving about that trick. So as you know, and not only that, we did the stitching in purple to match. So
I know, it was cool.
Well, it's in my gig bag. I didn't even think. I literally just got everything out from on the table when I'm stitching, and it's just it's all done. But yeah, it looks like this. It's the same stitching. Look, it goes perfectly with the Vogue. So it's amazing. So that's and actually, it's funny enough you say that, but because it's a 26 holder, you've got several effects that you can do with multiple cards, not just the Vogue. So I've got the one that's Evoke. And also there's one with the pocket in the back as well that I called it Evoked holder. I didn't think you might. I think I asked you and you said it's cool.
Yeah, of course.
So we called it Evoked. But since then I've had people ring up and say, can you do one for me? Because it'd be great for genetics, you know, Sean Goodman's genetics. Or there's loads of tricks that people are doing, ESP effects and all that sort of, that they're using. There's quite a few. I just realized I had a bag here before we met that has lots of other things that I was going to show, which was a vote was in there, and also that effect. But I think it gives you an idea of some of the things that we're doing. So it's a little sneak behind what we're doing. And obviously on the lecture tour, I'm going to be doing, it's not a dealer dem, so I will be doing lecture as well on some of my own effects and routines and my handlings on certain things. Of course, we'll have things for sale as well, because we have to, you know. Yeah, it's going to be a funny one, because beforehand, when we were doing a lot more lectures, you know, you get paid for the lectures and then you get the accommodation. But then if you're doing the conventions, you have to pay to go to the convention. So it's sort of flipped. But then all of a sudden you get a hell of a lot more people coming to your stand. So, yeah, it's a new one for us, because we have no idea how we're going to, like, sort of work this out and get out there and do it. But it's but definitely exciting. It's definitely
Really is. And if people want to contact you and they're not going to a convention in time soon, you obviously ship worldwide, don't you?
Yeah. Everything's
what's the website? What's the best way to contact you?
Grumleathercraft.com is the best thing to go on the website. But we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we've even got a thing called the Grum Gang, which is a group on Facebook for anybody out there who's already bought one of my products. It's only at the moment we've got 185 members, because I've only just started it. But the idea is that once we get going, people can go on there and share their ideas with the sign card key ring or the quiver key ring, or I just want people to share ideas that for any of the Grum handlers out there. So that's why I set it up. So just something for people, a nice safe place people can discuss ideas without, you know, whatever. But I make bespoke stuff as well. I make all my own stuff. So I don't know what you can see that big bag up there. Can you see the big black bag at the top? So it's a massive big black bag up behind me by the solo box. So that's literally, I made a big bag out of leather just to hold my dancing handkerchief, you know. Wow. Because I wanted to go to a gig, look classy, look smart for, you know, the Sean Baguna's dancing handkerchief in the bottle. But I don't want to just turn up with a bottle or a box. So I made a lovely carry case that just fits. And it's enough to hold all the accessories and the bottle. So when you turn up to a gig, it looks smart as well. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's but a lot of stitching. So yeah.
One last question. You've achieved so much. Like, Grum is respected worldwide. You're just about to go on a 6-week tour of America. You've got a million other things going on. You're a busy performer. You're getting rave reviews for everything you do. What's next? Is there anything on your magical bucket list that you haven't achieved yet that you want to achieve?
It's funny, because I've never really had, like, growing up, it was funny, because my when we were kids, my brother always wanted to be like Tony Clark or Lance Burden and be on the stage in Las Vegas. And I never had this burning desire to be one of those magicians. I think as part of me is the realistic in me, that I didn't want their life. You know, I didn't want to be a celebrity's life where you couldn't get to the beach and not be recognized or noticed, or, you know, I don't know. It's really hard to know what, because even as a kid, when we were kids, we were on What Now, which was a TV program. And I've been on TV with, I've been in movies and stuff like that as a featured extra on stuff with Hercules, Young Hercules, Xena, Warrior Princess, you know, things like that. But next, I don't know, it'd be great to be on something on TV, you know, actually have something on TV. I think that, but I don't know if that would happen or not, but love to be a host or, I don't know. I don't know, everything that's happened has happened organically. It's really funny to say that. I don't know what's next. I'm taking it as it comes. Like, I really don't know. Like, it's funny. Me and Mona were sitting there the other day thinking, what are we here for? Like, what, we work our butts off. For me, it's all about, they say you work hard, but you play hard. Right. So I really, really work hard. But then, you know, when we go to New Zealand to visit family, I want to have a break. And then we come back. We might come back by America or Thailand, and we go to the beach for a week and just really. I don't want to not go jet skiing or go sailing or go windsurfing. I want to do everything I can to have the best life. One of the things my brother told me always, because we used to say, what's the point of life? And my brother's answer was to have a good one, right? And that is the best answer you can have. When someone says, what is the point? You say, the point is to have a good one. And the main thing is to make it the best you possibly can. And for us as entertainers, we love to do that, to make other people laugh and smile. But it's also important for us. And it's really important as well about doing what you love and things will come. You know, I love design, I love magic, and I love making stuff. And I've done it without thinking. I didn't think I want to make money and then do it. I thought, I love these things, I'm going to do it, and then it will come.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing. If you do what you love, if you love rock climbing, you can make money off it. You know, if you love skydiving, you can make money off it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you really put your heart and soul into something, it'll pay off. And for me, that's a really important saying. It's like, really follow. I know, because I don't really have that dream, as you were just asking me, but I think it's really important to follow what you love and just make the most of every moment. You know, that's the main thing, because we don't know how long we're going to be here, do we?
So
let's just enjoy it and be nice to everybody. And you know, that's the hardest thing I've found is actually the more popular Grum's getting, the more you get involved in there's a bureaucratics and political stuff, and people's come be nasty, and I just don't like it. I just think everyone should just be nice, and if you haven't got something nice to say, don't say it at all. and just do stuff to make yourself happy and everybody else happy without, you know, and just do what you love.
Really, really, really great advice. That's one of the best pieces of advice I've heard on any interview I've ever done. I really have.
And it's true, though, isn't it? Like, and even my brother's words, it's so true. Just like, what's the point? The point is to have a good one, because yeah, there's no answer. Just didn't do a good one. So,
exactly. One final question before we wrap this up, and it's been an amazing interview.
Final question is:
obviously, you're a magic producer now. I know that was never it was never the design. It was never the thing. But you're a very successful magic producer. One thing that magic producers get to at some point is to kind of go, right, okay, who else would release a product through me? I mean, you're obviously very unique in that you work mainly with leather. I mean, you are expanding outside of that, but you work mainly with leather at the moment. If there's somebody out there that wants to release a product, and maybe it's a leather-based product or something, and they want to partner up with a company that can make that for them, can people reach out to you? Is that something that you're open to moving forward?
It is something that we're doing. And as I say, I'm the sign card to Keyring is a joint collab with me and Sean. I'm working with someone who's entering the French championships at the moment. They wanted something unique that we have fell in love with, you know, that we think we are actually going to release potentially together. I can do it two ways. I can... I actually mentioned Simon Lipkin as well. I've done we were working on something for him as a prototype. So I can help in several ways. I can help people. I can come up with prototyping, concepting, or I can also do the full design and delivery and get it out into the shops and what have you. But for me, I'm so passionate about it. I really don't like to just design it and give it away, because I've got to keep my eye on it, make sure it works, make sure it's perfect. As I said, we've done so many reiterations of the things that I've done until they're right. So, but it's a collaborative. I am working with lots of people. Just got to call out to me, info@grumleathercraft.com. I'm Ari. And then obviously we can have a chat. I can send me a brief. It's interesting because I'm learning a lot. There's a big investments in mass producing. You know, I've got orders of thousands at the moment. I've sold thousands of products now, like thousands, handmade stuff on my own. But now I'm getting orders of thousands, right? And it's a tough one, because you've got to know what you're doing, but it's a big investment. You've got to buy it all in advance, you know, and people don't realize it. And I appreciate you for everything you release, because people just don't get it. You got to take the risk and stuff. People ring you up and they wanted something and they, can you do it for me? But they don't have the money to invest or whatever it is. And I know that, because years ago, I used to probably do the same when I approached Peter Nardi and say, I've got this great idea. Let's do something, you know? I've got so many, I've got books and books of ideas that I'm still trying to do for myself. But if someone's got a good enough idea that I believe in, we can make it happen. Yeah, so for sure.
That is brilliant. That is awesome. Ari, this has been an incredible interview. It really has.
It's been fun.
It's been good. We've known each other, meeting at conventions, and Ryland is the biggest advocate of everything that you do. This is the first time I've got to sit down and chat to you, and you've blown me away with your attitude and your enthusiasm, and I can see that Grum's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, because I can see that that's what you want, and I can see it's going to happen. And it's super exciting. It's super exciting. I'm going to be at Magic Live, so it's going to be great. I work every year on the Penguin booth, so I'm going to be...
Well, I've seen you there like a couple of times as well. So
yeah.
I wasn't sure you're coming this year. Amazing. So we'll be all there together. So
yeah. I'll be at the Penguin booth, tired, probably. That's normally...
But you're not... So we haven't got tickets. We've only got dealer tickets this year. So
that's right, yeah.
To be honest,
by the time I finish the booth, I go in the bar and I fall asleep at a table, and then rinse and repeat the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although being on a booth, it means that you get to see everybody, so that's a win as well.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, we've got a good location. You know what's even more crazy? Just the way it's all happening for us is that when we were accepted to have a dealer stand at Magic Live, they do a raffle draw to see if you get to choose which stand you want. And they put the names in the hat. And when he did the video live, the first name they pulled out was Grum. Can you believe it?
Wow. That's awesome.
So it's just it's meant to be.
That is incredible.
Grum would be happy.
Well, you know what? Congratulations on all your success. And I know that you're going to be even more successful moving forward. And I want everybody to watch this interview. I want everybody who's watched this interview to do a few things for me. First of all, go and follow you on Facebook. Go and join the Facebook group. Then go and put an order in, because honestly, I've bought a lot of leather stuff in the past. There is nothing that comes close to Ari and his quality of manufacturing. It's brilliant. So go, if you've never bought anything from Grum before, please do so. And then if you see Ari somewhere at a convention, go over and say hi, and you'll be blown away with the quality of the stuff that he does, because it is really second to none. So I want everybody to do that. And also I want everyone to leave a comment down below. I'm sure that you'll read them. So leave a comment down below and let Ari know what you thought of the interview. But I thought this interview was amazing, Ari. Thank you so much for coming on the channel.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm honored that you asked me to be on it. So,
It's been a while. I've been trying to nail you down for an interview now for about 6 months.
No,
and every time it's like, well, I'm doing this, now I'm doing that, now I'm doing that. I'm like, Jesus, people say I'm busy. This is just the next level.
And that's why it's midnight and we're still chatting now.
Yeah, we're busy.
Busy guys.
That's the only time we can get you.
brilliant. It's been brilliant. So thank you so much for having us. So,
Ari, you're more than welcome. I really, really appreciate you coming on the channel. So one more time, thank you so much.
Thanks for me too. Amazing.
Guys, on behalf of Ari and Grum Handcrafted Leather, thank you very much for checking out this video. Don't forget, I'm going to be back next Saturday with another Talk Magic. I'll be back tomorrow with a whole bunch of videos. But remember what I said, go support Ari, go support Grum. I will be back again very, very soon. On behalf of Ari and Grum, my name's Craig, and this is Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.